when she decided to try a new life. The boy she married was a real good man, but she had feelings she didn't understand. She left a pile of dishes stacked in the sink. The night she told him she don't wear pink. She don't wear pink, she don't wear pink, and she don't care what anybody thinks. Don't bother putting no umbrella in a drink. She ain't your little baby and she don't wear pink. She never liked Barbie, forget about Ken. Played with him once but never again. Her tastes were different, she tried to explain. Her favorite dolly was a G.I. Jane. She thought dressing like mommy was just rinky-dink. And don't bother asking, she don't wear pink. She don't wear pink, she don't wear pink. And she don't care what anybody think. Don't bother putting no umbrella in a drink. She ain't your little baby and she don't wear pink. Never felt girly, hated baking cakes. The senior prom gave her the shakes. She won't live a lie, she's as strong as can be. When she looks in the mirror, she likes what she sees. The girl next door, the American dream. Skin is perfect, it's mocha ice cream. She got a job teaching at the high school. Kids finally had a teacher who was cool. But the parents got her fired, they made a big stink. When they found out she don't wear pink. She don't wear pink, she don't wear pink. And she don't care what anybody think. Don't bother putting no umbrella in a drink. She ain't your little baby and she don't wear pink. She don't wear pink, she don't wear pink. And she don't care what anybody think. Don't bother putting no umbrella in a drink. She ain't your little baby and she don't wear pink. She ain't your little baby and she don't wear pink.
Shamika Copeland with She Don't Wear Pink, a song written by John Hahn and our special guest today, Webb Wilder, and featuring Duane Eddy and Will Kimbrough and Webb Wilder on guitars. We're going to be visiting with Webb Wilder, who will be at the Mucky Duck in Houston this very Friday night in just a couple of minutes, but why don't we start things off with a song from Webb Wilder's latest release, Night Without Love. This is Hit the Nail on the Head on KPFT Houston.
I saw you last night, sitting alone at the bar. Came back this evening just to find out who you are. Cause baby, you hit the nail right on the head. I can tell you from down south, the way you say you are, you look at me over your shoulder just like Lauren Bacall. Oh baby, you hit the nail right on the head. Well, I like the way you chug that beer. I just love the way you hold your ground. You think you could manage just to stagger over here? Or we could find a place where there ain't so many people around. Come on with me, baby. Dance and I can sing. Wrap yourself around me just like a yo-yo string. Oh, baby, you hit the nail right on the head. Baby, come on up to my place. I got something up there, darling. Wipe that smile right off of your face. Oh, baby, you hit the nail right on the head.
sometime later on, baby, you're gonna have to tell me the story of your life. Oh, baby, you hit the nail right on the head.
Nail on the Head, from Night Without Love, the latest album from our very special guest today. Webb Wilder is an electrifying artist. He's a singer, he's a guitarist, he's a songwriter, he's an actor, he's an entertainer, and an on-air personality. And this Friday at the Mucky Duck, he will present an evening of acoustic outlaw country and roots rock. And it's our great luck that Webb Wilder is joining us today to tell us a little bit about what we can look forward to this Friday night at the Duck. Webb, are you there for us?
Yes, ma'am. How are you, Susan?
I'm so glad to have the opportunity to talk with you, and thank you so much for joining us today. So tell us a little bit about that song that we just heard, Hit the Nail on the Head. That's an amazing Rhythm Aces song, right?
It is indeed, and it may be on their first album. I know it goes back a ways, and that's the late, great Bird Burton on guitar on their version. And I was in a band many years ago that moved to Austin from our native Mississippi called Everready. And we did that song, and I always liked it, and it sort of got it all. You know, Keith Richards says that solos come and go, but riffs are forever. And it's got that great lick, that da 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 bum bum bum. And it's got the great lines, you know, and I may have sung some of them wrong. It has the line in it, I like the way you drink that beer. And I always used to sing or say or think that it was, I like the way you drink that beer, and I just love the way you hold it all down, which might be better, but I said, hold your ground. I couldn't, after listening to Russell sing it, I couldn't decide what he was singing, and I thought it might be that.
Both
but
ways.
It's a great song. I love it, and it got pretty good feedback on it, you know, so I was happy to do it.
Well, A Night Without Love came out in 2020, right about the same time that something else happened in the world.
Yeah.
And this is your first show back at the Mucky Duck since
it is, yeah.
since the pandemic started, right?
Right. You know, I used to make regular trips to Texas with the band in the preceding decades, and we would play, you know, Antone's on the Drag in Austin. We would play a variety of clubs in Dallas, and we'd play, you know, Rockefeller's or Fitzgerald's in Houston. And I think the last club I played with the band in Houston was Dan Electro's. But at some point, I think the money got weird, and it was hard to take a band to Texas. And somewhere along the line, I started doing these solo gigs, and I love doing them at the Mucky Duck. And, they always receive me quite warmly. And I hope people turn out. I know that rush hour traffic on a Friday can be challenging, but it is an early show on a Friday at 7 PM, and I'm really looking forward to it. So yeah, I haven't been there since before the pandemic.
Well, we're so glad you're coming back. And, you know, it's taken a while for all of us to kind of get back in the groove after a couple of years of having to just stay home. So we're all looking for an opportunity to get out. And look, you mentioned Mississippi. Of course, you grew up in Hattiesburg. Take us back to those very early days. That seems like a long time away for me. What were the first records you were listening to when you were growing up?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I think I was always sort of listening, and, I have this foggy memory. I had a lot of first cousins because even though I was an only child, my parents came from these big farm family kind of, you know, multiple sibling things, and all of them had kids. So my cousin Roland Bradley had come back from the Navy and lived with us in our tiny house for a brief time. And he was listening to some stuff when I was preschool age, probably. And I vaguely remember hearing Maybe Baby by Buddy Holly. And it really caught my ear, you know. And I remember hearing things like Sink the Bismarck by Johnny Horton. But television was a big influence. And when the British invasion happened, I mean, all that happened when I was in the fourth grade. And, you know, it turned out most of the music that the normal people like was made by misfits. So I'm finally, figured out that that's okay to be a misfit. So I was a misfit, you know, and I was an oddball and I always just liked music. So, you know, I was in the fourth grade, however old you are when you're in the fourth grade, when the Beatles were on Ed Sullivan and all that. So I think I really started listening to WXXX, which was an AM station that played everything. And, you know, it was such, I just watched David Frick's interview with Mike Campbell, you know, and Mike was talking about what a renaissance that era was. And it really was. I mean, you only had to listen to WXXX to get a broad variety of influences because Buck Owens and Johnny Cash had crossed over pop. You had Bob Dylan, you had Motown, you had Stax, you had the British Invasion, you had the pulpy pop from England and elsewhere, and you had some oldies thrown in the mix. So what else do you need, you know? And I think the fact that the Beatles were so good and had such success with such an eclectic menu made an irrevocable dent on my idea of what I'm supposed to do. I'll never rise to their level of quality, much less success, but by the time I started making records, marketing had kicked in. They wanted you to do one thing so they could market it, and I've never done that. So I think, you know, the Beatles opened the door to say, you can be eclectic, and I took their challenge. And I think now Americana radio is and can be more like rock and pop radio was back in the day because it sort of embraces that.
100%. And I think the more eclectic, the better.
I can't not be that way. I've sort of tried and it just doesn't work. I'm just not that guy. God bless people who are born to do one thing.
Yeah.
Aren't we glad that Jimmy Vaughn plays the blues? Heck yeah. You know, he was born to do it. He's great. But, I'm not sure I'm great at anything, but I'm pretty good at a handful of things, you know.
You're great at a lot of things. Don't sell yourself short. And people will get to hear that on Friday night at the Mucky Duck. Early show, 7 o'clock. It's not that early, ladies and gentlemen. The traffic will way have died down by then. Tell us about your Aunt Lillian.
Well, you know, I didn't realize she had anything to do with record making and music until later on, because even though she didn't live that far away, you know, we didn't travel a lot. My little family, my mom and dad and me, we didn't take vacations or anything, and we lived 100 miles-ish south of Lillian and Willard. And, you know, she had closed the doors to her record label probably about the time I was born. And her husband, Willard, was always in the furniture business, you know. So, and my parents, I'm sure, didn't even know who Elmore James was. And my aunt Tressa, who Montressa Wilder, my mother's sister, said I sang before I talked, which is amazing. But anyway, I was already in my first band when I put the pieces together and realized, oh, you know, she did all that. Wow. She recorded Elmore James and Sonny Boy Williamson. And of course, you know, by that time, my first band had played that, ode to Sonny Boy Williamson that Bloomfield and Cooper did. You know, he's gone. Sonny Boy dead and gone. And you know, I had Tommy, of course, and, the only cover on it, she produced the original version of, you know, which is Eyesight of the Blind. And I certainly knew who Elmore James was. So, I mean, it was an amazing thing. So I got some mentoring from her, but I can't say she is the reason I played music. And she was, I wish she was around, because anybody who ever knew her will tell you she was a unique, indescribable person. She was kind of a shrinking violet and kind of a bold body, almost Mae West in the same body. She was a walking wonder. She was individual.
Well, what a great mentor. It sounds perfect to me.
Well, she was, and Willard was very stoical. You know, Willard was my father's eldest brother and had sort of had to guide the broken home family through the Depression. And so he was capable and entrepreneurial. And, my first band we made and pressed our own little EP, and he told me, he said, John Webb, don't get in the record business. We lost $50,000. And they did, because the distributors wouldn't pay them. Hmm. And I'm rereading Peter Guralnick's book on Sam Phillips. And he had to sweat that kind of thing out. They would, cause you're manufacturing physical products, you know, plastic mm-hmm. records, and, you're sending them out just hoping the distributors will pay you for them. So Sam dealt with some of that too. And, wow, you know, so that's really what kind of sunk them. And their daughter, Vitrice, my dear first cousin, says they were just too proud to take bankruptcy. So they just worked harder.
Oh, wow.
But if you think about 50,000 pre-inflation dollars, dang.
Yeah. Back then.
Yeah.
We're talking with Webb Wilder. He will be at the Mucky Duck this Friday night. His latest album is Night Without Love. Now, you did have some really cool gigs when you were just getting started in that first band. You played on a riverboat with Ricky Nelson. Tell us about that.
Well, that was a few bands later, and that was a good band called The Drapes. And I'm trying to think if The Drapes ever played Houston. The Drapes played Austin. But Bobby Field, who I could talk about all day, was, you know, from Hattiesburg, and is an incredible songwriter, producer who guided and worked with me through my early, mid, and mid-late period. And I moved to Austin in our two separate bands in the 70s. And, of course, his was the original Howlers, which later became Omar and
sure,
the Howlers.
Sure.
And I just talked to – I've known Omar since I was 17. I just talked to him the other day. And so then Bobby and I wound up moving back to Hattiesburg, which was sort of culture shock for a young man in his 20s after mm-hmm. having been in the glorious 70s Austin. But I wound up starting and rallying these people to be in this band called The Drapes. And so we played in New Orleans a good bit. And, yeah, we played on that riverboat down there and opened for Ricky Nelson. And that was incredible. And we raced that very same evening over to Tipitina's to catch NRBQ with Skeeter Davis.
Mm.
Wow. And that was great. Yeah.
You know, we're so glad that you've had the opportunity to join us today, Webb. I want to talk a little bit more about this new album. And well, it's new to me. Well, it's new to, we've been playing it, but it's new in terms of your performance here because it's your first trip back to the Mucky Duck. Night Without Love came out in April 2020. You covered a Los Lobos song on this one as well. Tell us about mm-hmm. that one.
You're the first person who's ever mentioned it to me. I was a little hurt that I got no feedback on that one. That song is on, sir, it's a deep cut from, is it the Neighborhood Los Lobos album? I think it's the one Mitchell Froom produced. Anyway, I just think it's so beautiful, and certainly their version is beautiful, and I would get choked up trying to sing it or tell people about it, and I just felt so compelled about it that I thought I got to do it, you know, if you feel that strongly about a song. And I kind of had a vision for it, and you know, I'm lucky that Prince Charles told me never to drop names, right? But I know a few people, you know, so the great Richard Bennett, you know, who plays with people like Mark Knopfler, you know, is a friend of ours and mine. And, I asked him if he would play on it, and he said he would. And in the meantime, I did some noodling on it, and I didn't know I could play those kind of licks, which are kind of like my take on El Paso or something. Anyway, but we did bring Richard in, and he played that beautiful gut string solo. So yeah, man, I was pleased with it, but I certainly never heard from anybody with Los Lobos. You know, they might hate it. I don't know. Maybe they don't know I cut it, but, I was thrilled to do it. And it's my, test. It's my homage to how great their song and their recording of it is. And so I hope it was taken that way, if at all.
Los Lobos celebrating 50 years together this year.
Yeah, I mean, what a band. And if you just take David Hidalgo alone, mm-hmm. I mean, his singing is comparable with Stevie Winwood, and his playing is comparable with Clapton. And those are just a couple of dimensions of his multi-dimensional, you know, capabilities and influences and styles.
Well, you know, there's so many great songs on this album. Tell us a little bit about writing with Dan Penn.
What an honor. You know, the late, great Jack Emerson co-managed me and my band early on with Andy McLennan. They were Praxis. They were the only guys doing anything cool with rock in Nashville when I first got here. They managed Jason and the Scorchers, you know, and put out their first album. Then they later managed Webb Wilder and the Beatniks, and they managed the Georgia Satellites, Steve Forbert at one time or another, the Questionnaires, a lot of people. And so back in those days, Jack made me a couple of co-writing appointments. And one of them was with the great British songwriter Paul Kennerly, who is a great guy and a friend. But we didn't really come up with anything. The other one was with Dan Penn, and I knew who Dan was. And so this is a long time ago, like decades ago, and I got to his house and I said, well, what do you want to do? And unlike me, he knew what he wanted to do. You know, and he said, well, I've been wanting to write a song called Only a Fool. And I said, well, I've got this lick. And I started playing it, and we were off to the races, and we wrote that. And many years passed before I recorded it, and then more years passed. But I got his attention. I mean, it's lucky we both lived long enough for me to get his attention. And, so I went to a solo show of his at City Winery and I said, well, you know, if you never write another song with me, that's okay. But I'd love it if we could. He goes, yeah, well, call me after the first of the year or something like that. So I did. And he said, well, call me on Valentine's Day. I mean, you can't make that up, right?
That's a good date.
Oh, call me on Valentine's Day. And I jokingly said, well, that'll be a sweetheart deal. And there, the rest is history. We wrote that song.
Well, you know what? I think we should hear that song now. We're talking with Webb Wilder, and he will be at the Mucky Duck this Friday night, or nice early show. And we're going to listen to Sweetheart Deal from A Night Without Love on KPFT Houston.
Priceless, man, what a steal. It's a lover's bond. just a sweetheart.
Webb Wilder, Sweetheart Deal, a song co-written by Webb Wilder and Dan Penn from Night Without Love. Right here on KPFT Houston, our very special guest is Webb Wilder, who will be taking the stage at the Mucky Duck Friday night at 7 o'clock. What a beautiful song. I'm so glad y'all were able to spend Valentine's Day together.
And I'm not sure we really got together on Valentine's Day, but he did ask me to call him on Valentine's Day. And in fact, I did. And that's what gave me the idea for the song. You know, I grew up around all sorts of rednecks and southern gentlemen and every other kind of entrepreneurial person. And so the term sweetheart deal, you know, I used car salesman or whatever. I had heard that all my life. And I'm sure Dan had too. And I'm just so grateful to have worked with him and have immense talent for him. And, you know, the funny thing about him, it's not funny, it's great, is that it's great that he's still going and gigging and writing, I guess, too. But he is a great singer. I mean, guy had never written, he's written some of the greatest songs of all time. They were all co-writes, and he'll be the first to tell you that. He likes writing with piano players, another reason I'm lucky to have written with him, really. But he's a great singer. He's really a great singer, but never really pursued the artist thing that heavily. He was mostly Mr. Behind the Scenes, you know?
Well, it's a beautiful collaboration. I'm so glad y'all were able to get together. And this Friday night at the Mucky Duck, it's solo acoustic gig, which means you have the freedom to stretch out and do and play anything you want to do. So what can listeners expect? What can folks who go out to the show expect?
Well, I'm sure I'll do stuff from all of my albums. I think there are 11 of them, and I'll do some stuff that probably was never on any of the albums. And, if I get a little time, to bone up on some songs between now and the show, I'll try to do something maybe from the album I'm recording now.
Ah.
You know, I recorded Sweetheart Deal with my dear friend. Dear friend has become a cliche that bothers me, but it's really true in this case. My dear friend of many years, George Bradfute, who's a multi-talented guy, played in my band and is on my records. But he and I did Sweetheart Deal, co-produced it at his studio, and now we're working on another one. And it was kind of a blessing that I really didn't have any shows in Austin, and I have the radio program that I do here in Nashville too. So I was able to sort of get to George's house every Thursday for a while there. And we've gotten a lot of our friends and usual suspects to join us. And so there'll be a new album in 2024.
Oh, great. Something we can all look forward to. And now you mentioned, you kind of threw that one in there, but we have to talk about the fact you were, of course, were one of America's first satellite DJs on the XM Cross Country Channel, or X Channel, whichever it was that we're calling it today. It was called Cross Country, right?
It was called Cross Country, which was a great name, but the logo had an X for a cross, which, you know, confused everyone.
No, we got it. And of course, then, now you are currently on WMOT on Afternoons with Webb Wilder, and also you do The List. Tell us a little bit about, because that's every weekday. And WMOT, not unlike KPFT, 100,000 watts, great station. Tell us a little bit about how you got started there and your shows there.
Well, I would not have had the satellite radio gig or this one without the incredible Jesse Scott. Do you know Jesse?
I do.
She's such a pioneer of all of everything we're talking about. And God bless her for being in my corner. You know, I got a call from the late, great Billy Block back right just prior to satellite radio. Do you know Jesse Scott? No. She knows you, and she wants you to anchor her Americana channel out of the new, yet-to-open Country Music Hall of Fame for satellite radio. Have you heard about satellite radio? And I said, oh, yeah, I heard about it and then forgot about it. And so that happened, you know. And then, of course, we all got laid off. They kept tightening their belt because it was expensive, the startup cost, and that's why XM and Sirius eventually had to merge, I guess. And 10 years pass and, you know, I'm making some records, doing a lot of gigs, hustling, you know, selling my guitars, whatever. And, I got the call from Jesse. Hey, we're converting the Middle Tennessee State University 100,000 watt WMOT to 24/7 Americana format. Would you do the weekly chart show? And I said, sure. And I started doing the list and it, and people like it. I think that that's the most popular thing I do, but she kept saying, I want to get you on the air more. The pandemic happened and I got the call. She said, you want to add Monday through Thursday? And I said, well, yeah. And so there you go. And we just, we're celebrating our 7th anniversary and we're about to head into Americana Fest, as you know,
coming up in just a few days. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you guys have a big showcase, right?
Oh, we have. We did this last year too, and it was really fun. We have the Americana Fest day stage. I mean, the official spin is NPR Music World Cafe and WMOT present the Americana Fest day stage at Eastside Bowl. And that'll be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, noon to five. And it's a great venue. And we have an incredible array of artists each of those days, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or so per day. So yeah, it's going to be a big deal. And you know, I get to see, if I go out there, which I will, I'll see my fellow DJs because we all work remotely. I don't see them all the time, and not to mention all these artists. So it'll be great.
Well, speaking of the radio, because you're a Renaissance man and have done many, many things, you have also starred in radio dramas. Tell us a little bit about Last of the Full Grown Men at Mole Men.
Well, thanks for asking. You know, there is a guy that I always say is the funniest man in Nashville, but like a lot of creative, funny people, he's complicated and a bit of an introvert when he's not performing. So he's kind of hermitized himself, but his name is Shane Caldwell. And he even had his own local television programs at one time. And then Steve Boyle is a guy who is an incredible film guy and made successful, you know, award-winning country music videos and films and all sorts of stuff, both friends, both fans, and spinning off, I guess, the old Webb Wilder Private Eye film. They wanted to do this, radio play thing back in the 90s. And we did. And they, the two of them wrote, I can't remember which came first, you know, but anyway, they turned them into a double-sided pulp novel. They wrote these pulp novels and, I guess that happened first. And so, you know, I guess there was a point in time way back when with dime novels or pulp novels where you got two in one. And, you know, if you had to turn the book over, you know, in the middle, the text would be upside down. So it had two covers. And so one's Mole Men and the other one is The Doll. And it was a little as retro as it was still a little ahead of its time. And we recorded all this stuff that just kind of was stillborn, and we had amazing guest artists like Felix Cavaliere from the Rascals and Kathy Mattea. And so, wow. And, so a lot of time passed and, we republished the book not long ago. And I did, in the meantime, I'd been doing audio books. Like I did the last Willie Nelson book. I did the read for it, you know, so we never had audio books of them and now we do, and they're available. And, Steve re-edited all the stuff, which had great music from Jim Hoke and from me and my guys and Felix and all these people. And, Jesse aired it on WMOT. So, I'm sure if you would like to air it in Houston, we can hook you up with Steve and make it happen. But yeah, just one of those crazy things that, we did a long time ago that we've attempted to reactivate some.
Well, it sounds like it would be just a perfect fit for KPFD. We're talking to Webb Wilder, and who is a man of many talents, and he'll be sharing a lot of those talents this Friday night, 7 o'clock at the Mucky Duck. Webb, thank you so much for coming in and with us today. And I would be remiss if I didn't ask you before we let you go. You obviously know from all your time with WMOT how important public radio is. Tell us a little bit about the KPFD is listener supported. I have been for 53 years. I've come on 54 this coming March. And we really like to inspire folks who enjoy it to support it. Tell us a little bit about how important it is to support public radio stations like KPFT.
it's important to support wonderful radio stations like KPFT in Houston because they play real music by real people for real people just like you. But they can't do it without you. They need your support. And without it, don't take it for granted. Wonderful radio stations are rare and it could go away. Real music by real artists for real people with diversity included. This is Webb Wilder, the last of the full-grown men, urging you to work hard. Rock hard, eat hard, sleep hard, grow big, wear glasses if you need them. The Webb Wilder credo.
What are you doing during our next fun drive, Webb? Want to come on down and hang out with us in Houston?
You know, I do that for our own radio station, of course, for MOT. And, you know, I go to Murfreesboro, which is where Middle Tennessee State University is, just, you know, 45 minutes southeast of Nashville, and do that very thing at least once a year.
Well, you know, that's how we stay on the air, ladies and gentlemen. And if you enjoy KPFT, please support us at kpft.org. And if you enjoy WMOT, where Webb will be this very afternoon, support them as well. Webb, thank you so much for being here. We're going to go out with, how about Tough It Out? Tell us a little bit about this song and we'll go out with that one.
Well, thank you, Susan. That song was written by R.S. Field, who I mentioned earlier, Bobby Field, and a guy named John David, who began life as John David Williams and played with one of our heroes, Dave Edmonds, before and after Rockpile. But he was here. He's Welsh. He was here for a while, and he and Bobby wrote Tough It Out, and John David and I wrote a song called Kick Me When I'm Down that he got recorded by Status Quo. And I've never done my own version till now, and it'll be on my next album. But Tough It Out was written for me by John David and Bobby Field. And I heard it. And I went, wow, thanks. That's great. You know, and we were able to record it on our Doodad album, and it got a lot of airplay from coast to coast. And it's a bit of a rock and roll anthem. You know, it's a song kind of about rock and roll itself, and I'm very proud of it. And I think it endures. And, people have come up to me, you know, because the message, Tough It Out, you know. I mean, what did Winston Churchill say? When you're going through hell, keep going. It's kind of like that. People have told me it's gotten them through some hard times, and I'm just very humbly grateful that it did anybody any good. It's done me a lot of good. I still do it, and I'm proud of it.
Well, Webb Wilder, we are so glad that you continue to endure and that you are coming to the Mucky Duck this Friday night. Here is Webb Wilder, Tough It Out, on KPFT Houston.